The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jerry Perelman.
Yes.
I haven't seen you in a while, but I know you've been down in Florida.
I have been in Florida, John, and thanks so much for having me back today. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all my friends in Florida, my friends in New York, my family, my former drama students and music students. Maybe I should just put them all
by
name.
I'm just going to say.
I'll just name them all. Okay.
Carol and Barbara, why don't you take off? I'll leave with you guys, and we'll come back and let Jerry run the show. We have a wonderful, wonderful show today. We always do every week, but this one's quite unusual. We have Barbara Paskoff.
Correct.
And Carol Pack, and they are the co-authors of Over 60 Shades of Grey. And obviously it's not a cliche, I don't know what the word is, in reference to the shade, whatever the movie was, right?
Well, actually, no.
Oh, really? I'm assuming it was.
We're over 60.
No, the Shades of Grey, that three-part series with...
You're thinking of over 50 Shades of Grey, which is
50 Shades of Grey.
Erotica, but our book is not quite erotic.
Not at this age.
It's
so
about
much.
Age.
Okay, let's keep going now. No. Anyway, what I like to start with is a little background on you guys and what was the impetus for the book. We're not going to talk about the book yet. We will talk about the book. And I know Jerry thoroughly enjoyed it, but how did it come about? What's your background and how did this come about?
Briefly, I was going back to school when my daughter was 16 years old.
Okay.
And I had said something to her, and she said, "Give me a life." And I said, "Better, I should get one for myself." So, long story short, I went back to school. I was presenting a project, and New York Institute of Technology has a viable news station at the time called LI News Tonight. The executive director comes out, says to me, "Barbara, would you like to be an on-camera reporter?" I said, "I am 44 years old. What the do I know about reporting?" He said, "Well, let me introduce you to the staff." And in I walk to LI News Tonight. This was going back 1988. And I see Carol and the other people at their desks. I never left.
Wow.
I was her professor.
Really? Okay.
And we have been friends since 1988. Close friends.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah. So from everything that Carol taught me, I was a broadcast journalist. I then went over to PBS, was a news reporter. Then I also I met my business partner there and we opened up a television production company called Envision Productions, where we had received about 4 Emmy nominations. Then you reinvent yourself. And I kept reinventing myself. And Carol was there along the way.
Okay.
And my history is that I taught people for 25 years how to be...
At NYIT,
okay. How to be on-camera television reporters. I also taught them how to shoot. So I worked as a news writer at WNBC, a little bit at News 12. But mostly I was NYIT, and I was the assignment manager and the fill-in news anchor. So news was my background.
Okay.
And it's how I met Barbara. And ever since... I don't remember. Ever since she turned 50, have celebrated...
A couple of weeks ago, right?
At least a day.
Okay.
We have celebrated our birthdays. And one year, we were...
Are they the
out
same time or no? Just separate?
No.
Okay.
We were out to dinner, and somebody said something funny, and I said, "Oh, that would make a good book. Who wants to write a book?" And Barbara's hand shot up, like the speed of light. And... at the beginning, it was called Ageology. Ageology was born. And over the years, And it took us a few years to write it because we didn't really know what the book was going to look like when it was done. We were going to try and get an agent and a publisher. We knew they were going to change things around on us. So we were writing, and it just took form as essays, our personal experiences with the different aspects of aging. And it just sort of blossomed into what it's become. And the title got its start because a publisher said to us, "Hate the title. Nobody wants to be told they're over 60 right in the title." And I said, "Well, what if the title is Over 60 Shades of Gray?" And her and I knew as soon as the words left my mouth that that was going to be our title.
Wow. You asked for the impetus, why we wrote the book. Starting at 50 years old, and as you said a week ago, perhaps, at 50 years old, I started to feel invisible. I started to feel like a paper plate, disposable. There was ageism years ago. And when I would go into an office, I would go into a waiting room, I would see everything for those people, health tips, beauty tips, nail tips, everything for those under 50. And frankly, I was, can I say pissed?
Of course.
Well, I was. Okay. So I was pissed. And when Carol said, when we were talking about the aging and everything, that's the only thing I wanted to address.
I was a little bit different because I was going through these changes, and every time I went through a change, I went, "Oh my goodness, this is terrible. Oh my goodness, this is terrible. Why is this happening to me?" And I would read up and I would realize it's not just happening to me. It's happening to 60 million people who are over 60.
Right, right, right. Okay.
And all of a sudden, I said, this gives us a great opportunity to tell people, hey, if you're going through a change and it's a little bit embarrassing, don't be embarrassed by it. We're all going through it. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to write the book, because I wanted people to know where if we're in the embarrassed to death stage, we're all in it together,
right,
and we should bond together.
And we wanted the people to know that, you know what, you're not alone. That there is a huge amount of people who may not be as verbal as we are about aging. And to know, like Carol said, don't be embarrassed, because a number of doctors we spoke with said they've heard it all, especially the gynecologist and the urologist. When you walk in and you have so many questions that are extremely personal and what could be extremely embarrassing, they heard it all. So we're giving everybody a license.
Excuse me, Christina, you want to sit over here? Feel free.
So, yeah, I mean, just be you,
right,
and be comfortable with you in your own skin. And this is only one of the messages that we hope to convey to the reader.
Well, the point is, just to interrupt, and this is my feeling, nothing ever gets talked about. So what you're talking about in reference to changes that are occurring?
Yes.
You lived in a bubble. I live in a bubble. Jerry lives in a bubble. Everybody's going through the same thing or whatever it's going to, different pieces of the same thing.
Right.
Nobody ever, you're in a room together and everybody's miserable, but nobody says a word. Everybody smiles.
Yes.
Versus, what do you do? I did this, you did that. It's like, wait a minute, let me try that.
Uh-huh.
And the next day it's like, whoa, what a relief.
That, exactly.
But you have to talk about it.
Well, that's right, because nobody is a mind reader, right, unless you're Tyler Henry. Do you ever watch him on
TV?
No,
I don't know who that is.
You do. The Hollywood Medium.
Oh, I know. The blonde kid?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know his name.
Yeah. Well, now you do.
No, okay. See? I learned something
See?
Today. God, you know.
Another thing about the book, right, is that right from the beginning, because my background is in journalism, I was writing seriously, and Barbara would say to me, make it funny.
Lighten it up.
Yeah, because everything goes down more easily with a spoonful of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our mantra. We would each write and meet once a week, and we would compare notes and read each other's work. And We
just
would
go back there again. You would write
separately.
Separately
about the same topic.
No.
Oh.
Both of us would research certain topics that apply to aging. Well, everything applies to life, so everything
right.
applies to aging. It's how you want to handle it. So we would choose some topics. Let's say sleep. Let's say dry eye, dry skin, dry vagina.
Oh, good. I was waiting to get there. That's,
well, yeah,
that's the highlight
look
of
look at this. We just hit Kilimanjaro.
We're going straight to hell now.
And we would have our own topics. Or if one of us thought, you know, I'm going to write about this, not even conferring with the other person, we just wrote.
We did. We
right, okay.
A lot of stuff got left on the cutting room floor.
Okay.
Some things were combined because we, at times, would write about the same thing without knowing that the other was writing about it. So there was a lot of writing, but then getting together and agreeing. And we agreed a lot.
A lot of things. But also, what we want to tell you is with every problem you might face, we have interviewed 17 experts in various fields that lend their support, their advice. You had read some of them.
I did read some of these.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And it was wonderful. As a matter of fact, we had nothing. As we age, we need to really redo our wills to provide for end-of-life care, living wills, which everybody should have anyway. And I took a page out of our book, and I always had a will, but now I had an elder care attorney. And it is a big difference when you write a will when you're first married or young than to have a will when you're older with all of the stuff and the important things that need to go into that to save you.
I'm involved in that. I'm a financial advisor, and I do deal with elders.
Oh.
It's 60 or 70% of the people over 60 do not have a will in this country.
That's right.
It's mind-boggling.
That's right.
And we don't have long-term care. And
that's
we
right.
get into it like they're in the, not the nursing home, in the hospital. It's like, well, what's the next move? You just had a stroke. You're screwed.
That's right.
And there's money in the bank, and there's money here, and there's property, and nobody has taken the time. And guess what? The state's going after it. You could start doing some things, but you're guaranteeing you're giving up $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 for the next year and two.
That's
if you're
right.
going to be there for 5 years. And you could have taken care of it all in advance.
Don't you realize a lot of people may not have a will because they think you have to be rich to have a will.
I agree.
If you have a bicycle, it has to go to somebody.
Right.
So leave it to somebody. It's a bicycle. Everybody should have a will no matter what it is.
And even just going on that, the other thing what you need a will for, you don't want your kids fighting. Because if I take the bicycle because Mommy said it was mine, but Jerry didn't get it, but Jerry thought Mommy said it was his,
mm-hmm.
and Jerry and I don't talk for the rest of our lives.
She did say it was mine.
But it's the truth. Make it clear. Communicate with the kids. Say, listen, I'm giving Jerry the bike, but you can have the stereo.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks,
no,
Mommy.
That's a good point.
That's so important. And it's little junk, but you know what that is? That's love. You didn't feel the love. So Mom's dead, and I didn't feel the love because Jerry got more than me. It's worth nothing on the street.
And it
There's
brings
no value,
up
but the love
so
the
many
values.
Other issues. Right?
Is it true?
Very good point about needing to leave that will.
What I think is interesting is, you, honestly, this is my impression here, your personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Too different. Uh-huh. That's why I was curious. Like, how do you wind up with a finished chapter? Because I think yours is a little bit more punchy, and I think yours is. This sounds terrible. More scholarly, and I don't mean you're not.
That's okay.
Just like whoa. It's just like if I was reading yours, I would expect to read something.
We're
reading
like,
yours, I'd expect a whole different personality in there.
We're
putting it together is tough.
Yin and yang.
100%.
And like that's what works for us.
It's like Carol's more academic.
Right,
oriented.
That's better. Right,
yes,
right.
Yes. And Barbara is more like on the practical.
No, Carol is practical. I think Carol.
Barbara is gregarious and.
Okay, this is good.
I'm out there.
Likes
Barbara's
to punch
on the edge of
reality.
That's, good. That's
yes,
the way
yes,
you
I,
right.
I
this
am
good.
Out there.
That's
I am good. Unedited. I say it as I see it. What's yeah. on my lung mm-hmm. is on my tongue to the embarrassment of my family. But, you know, it's been so many years. I think you have to either buckle up and take the ride. But I will say writing with Carol has absolutely taught me grammar, and God knows those poor kids. I was at one point in my life an English teacher. If you really, they walked out dumber than they walked in.
Okay, we gotta take a break. We gotta take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.